Hey everyone, it's Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network. I'm outside of Atlanta right now for an event. I'm hanging out with my old friend Mark Pasio. How are you doing, brother?
Awesome.
And we actually just finished filming some of Mark's part of my Pyramid of Power series. Those of you who follow my work, you know that we are on episode 13. We're about to release that of 17 of the Pyramid of Power. And if you know Mark's work, Mark talks about the occult, talks about his experience in the Church of Satan and secret societies and so much more important things, natural law, of course. And he is going to be featured in our episode on the pedo class, talking about pedophilia and how that big topic. And then we'll be talking about religion and secret societies. And then Mark is also going to help us answer the final question, the most important question of the documentary series, who or what is at the top of the pyramid? So while we're doing that, we figured we'd chat for a little bit and share this with you guys, because I know so many people want to hear your thoughts and opinions, Marks. But let's start first, though. You have an event coming up, and I want to make sure everybody knows about that, because, again, if you don't know the website, whatonearthishappening.com, just so many presentations from Mark, available on DVD, available online. We're getting them in more languages as well as possible, so check it out if you're not familiar. But you have a new presentation coming. Let's talk about that. What are you focused on, and when is it happening?
This is going to be an all-day presentation. I haven't done one of those in a few years now. But it's an all-day event coming up October 21st, 2023 in Exton, Pennsylvania at the Exton Hotel and Conference Center. And the presentation is entitled Two Masks, Same Face, The Dark Occult Origins of Nazism and Communism. And what I'm going to do in this all-day presentation is go into all of the figures and organizations that, from a dark occult worldview and perspective, created and fomented the political institutions of Nazism and Communism. These are simply religions. I would call them religious factions of the same core religious tradition. So you have to think of Nazism and Communism as dark occultic factions. They're controlled by the same hand, and they're just two sides of the same coin, two wings of the same bird, operating to do the same thing long term. The long term goal is the same, and that's the enslavement of human beings. That's the destruction of the human soul. That is taking the world and bringing it into a prison society. Okay? And what I'm going to do is show people that they are identical once you strip away the political trappings, so to speak. They're identical inside. At the core of their ideology, they are the same. And they are ultimately run by the same people, and they were established by the same root religion, which is dark occultism slash Satanism.
And the date, you said it was in October?
October 21st, 2023, Exton Hotel and Conference Center. You can get an invite for a personal donation to attend in person at my website, whatonearthishappening.com. We have a large poster right on the homepage. If you click that, it will take you to the place where you can donate to attend live in person. This is a live in-person event. It is not an online event, and it is in person in Exton, Pennsylvania.
So it is, I don't want you to give away too much of the talk, because I want people to come in person, go in person. If you've never heard Mark speak in person, you won't regret it. And, you know, the DVDs are great. The fact that you put the information out is great, but there's nothing like an in-person presentation. I think so many of us realize that now.
Sure.
But you're going to be focused on the occult aspects of it, of course. Is sort of the part of that research, some of the things like Anthony Sutton and others have talked about, like the funding of these movements as well, like Nazism, communism, you can go back and see some of the same banking interests and stuff. Obviously, that's one layer, and then you're going to get into the occult stuff.
I will touch upon some of that. It will not be the main focus. The occult underpinnings will be the main focus, but I will, of course, touch upon some of that historical framework that researchers such as Sutton and others like Coleman have touched on in their work. Absolutely.
Yeah, the reason I bring that up is because, I mean, you're well-versed in this. I consider myself to be fairly well-versed in this, and I know there are those out there who will feel the same. But there are also those who are still just getting caught in these various dichotomies. We know the most obvious one, left versus right, Republican versus Democrat. But there's the Nazis versus communists, nationalists versus, you know, leftists, et cetera. And it's like the same pattern repeated over and over. So I think that in addition to understanding the deeper occult underpinnings, it's important that people just start to, generally speaking, understand that you're dealing with fighting the same monster, you know, despite appearing completely different or coming from opposing ends of the spectrum.
Absolutely. I call this in my work polarization dialectics. Mm. It's asking the slave class to choose the flavor of slavery that they prefer. I mean, imagine saying, you know, do you want to be whipped on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, or, you know, Tuesday, Friday, and Sunday? You know, it's a ridiculous question, because the end result is the same. And people believe, because they're given a choice, that it somehow is going to end up differently. And that's an occult technique in and of itself, dialectics. It's something that you have to be psychologically mature enough and sophisticated enough from a psychological point of view to understand how it is operating, how the masters of the world are giving people that false illusion of choice, and then watching them fight and just totally tear each other apart while they're sitting back laughing.
Absolutely. And it seems like, I mean, so you and I have spoke, I think the first talk was 2015 at Free Your Mind, 2016 around that time, Anarchapulco, and then in Philly, several times over the years. And we've seen, you know, we've been through the QAnon stuff, we've seen the Trump confusion, all the stuff that's happened. And here we are in 2023, post-pandemic. We haven't spoken on camera since the mm-hmm. pandemic, so clearly the world has changed a lot, right? And there are so many people who are... I think a lot more people are awake in some levels, not to the extent maybe we need them to be, but people are aware of Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, technocracy. Some of these terms that people like us have been talking about for years Sure. are becoming more, you know, average and normalized. And part of that is people are looking for solutions. People are desperate for them. So maybe they're thinking Trump's going to come save the day, or, you know, nobody believes in Biden, but maybe RFK Jr. even, right? People are still putting their faith in the political system. But there are also those of us who are part of what I have termed exit and build, you know, the idea of exiting from the systems, not just physical location, but getting off big tech, you know, growing your own food, not being dependent on their systems, and trying to build new ones, build parallel systems. And this is something I believe in fully. And I think it's sometimes maybe misinterpreted as a retreatism or running away. But this is also something that you have spoke about as well, in terms of like that we shouldn't necessarily seed ground, and, you know, we shouldn't just acquiesce per se. And I don't see, you know, getting yourself off the grid as acquiescing. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, though, about, like, for example, like, and obviously we're friends here, it's okay that we don't always agree on everything. Mm-hmm. Hope people get that. So I got land in Mexico. I'm living mm-hmm. between Texas and Mexico. And we got land outside of, we live in a city, we have a place, but we have a place about an hour and a half outside the city, hoping to grow our own food, build a house, all that. And really, for me, it's kind of motivated by family and friends who don't quite see what we see yet, but my hope is that if and when they do, and they start wanting to run to the hills or get away, because not everybody's going to be a warrior, mm-hmm. That I have somewhere to bring them to or to help them. Sure. It's kind of anticipating that. But yeah, like, so we were getting people who are realizing, you know what, I want to grow my own food, whether it's in the suburbs or in the city, even in the city or on the countryside or whatever, getting off the power grid, getting out of the education system. You know, do you Sure. generally support that idea of us exiting from their systems and trying to build parallel ones?
Of course, and I think all of those are good ideas. I don't see that as the ultimate long-term solution, however. So I would word that as contingency plans Sure. in my teaching. What I see as the ultimate solution is the teaching of true objective morality and natural law. Because if we understand those things, we're not going to drive a chaotic, self-induced collapse of our society and civilization and create all kinds of trauma, all kinds of cataclysmic circumstances. We won't create that self-inflicted suffering if we truly understand true morality under natural law. So my perspective is more of, let's avert the disaster to begin with. Mm. That being said, look at the lateness of the hour. Look at how few people are actually have their eggs in that basket, so to speak, right? How many people have been doing that over all of these years? For the last 16 years, I've been attempting to explain these solutions to people regarding we have to become educators of morality to other people. Mm. How many people have actually taken on that burden of responsibility and done it? The reason that we're in the situation having to prepare contingency plans is because we have a failure in that type of moral teaching to begin with. So I'm a fan of averting disaster and not having it come down through karmic consequence to begin with. Yeah. We have to understand things from a level of causal dynamics, causality. Once we understand things from causal dynamics under natural law, we will not have to do all of the work to build anything quote unquote new or reform anything.
Sure.
We simply say no to evil because we are standing firm in our moral choice and not accepting the immoral behavior, like when, you know, resources are dangled before us like a carrot to take a paycheck to do immoral behaviors.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate solution. That being said, I'm not going to tell anybody not to do all of these other, you know, creation of systems and parallel dynamics, parallel, systems. It's not a bad thing to have those things in place. I personally do not see it as the ultimate solution. The ultimate solution is changing consciousness from a moral perspective so that the disaster is averted to begin with.
And maybe thank you for sharing that. And maybe people can do both, right? They can promote and teach and learn and educate themselves on natural law and try to spread the word while also preparing for the potential that it doesn't work.
Yes.
Because as you mentioned, it's late in the hour, right?
Yes.
And, you know, I kind of see it as if I was to imagine that I woke up tomorrow and I realized I was just a crazy conspiracy theorist and none of this stuff is really happening, that I would probably still be on the same path because I don't want to live the rest of my life paying rent, paying for electricity, you know, just so even if the...
We could do so much better.
Yeah,
we can create so many better
through
things.
Like,
our potential is practically unlimited.
Exactly. So to me, I try to, and I think it's important for anybody listening to, you know, for my own journey, going to Mexico is something I decided years ago because of familial reasons and stuff like that and just loving Mexico. When COVID happened, it was just the impetus to say, you know what? Rather than waiting 5 to 10 years to do this, I'm going to start now.
Sure.
And so, just advancing goals that I already had. And I think that's important, right? If you're in a place of fear, don't go run away to wherever you think is paradise because it's not going to be. You know, if you're not right in yourself and dealing with your own shit and working on your own acceptance of natural law and understanding morality, then it doesn't matter where you go city, outside the city, it's not going to work out.
It would be doomed to failure
exactly.
without that as a moral, philosophical basis and foundation.
Exactly.
As an addendum briefly to that, I would look at it perfectly fine to do those things in parallel.
Mm-hmm.
However, my ratio, what I would gauge as the proper ratio of, you know, how many eggs to put in which basket, 80% into the teaching of proper moral philosophy, 20% into contingency plans and building parallel systems, I think is the correct number.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. And I know everybody out there will enjoy that analysis. And I think that's it's important to explore this, right? Because the movements as a whole, and I'm using that broadly because we know there's anarchism, voluntarism, there's crypto, spirituality, so many of these intersecting things that are going on now. And people have pieces of the puzzle, but they're collectively, I think these groups are looking for solutions. Again, some people still looking for false hope in messiahs and political saviors, etc. But those who are starting to realize that's not the answer, they're opening up to things like natural law. They're opening up to the idea of exiting and building and creating something different. But I also think you're correct that if we can get to a place, you know, and we have the time-sensitive nature, it's 2023, their vision is 2030, doesn't mean it's all going to be completed, but we know they have a timeline they're working on. That if we can get more people to come to an awareness of natural law and objective morality and reject moral relativism, that could stop their plans in their tracks.
I fully agree. So few people are truly deep thinkers and philosophers in their own right that they really cannot see that the solution is to change the mind.
Mm.
The mind has to be changed. Everything that manifests in our world is ultimately manifested beginning in the mind before it comes into physical manifestation in the world. Anything you could think of, you know, this camera, this chair, our clothing, the microphone, the lighting rig, you know, anything from a door to a couch to a mirror, right? All of these things had to be ideas first. That's the principle of mentalism. So everything that's manifesting in our society from a cultural point of view, from a, you know, a dynamic of either control or freedom, ultimately that had to begin as an idea. And if you're going to change the manifested result, you have to go back to the very place where that creative dynamic began, and that is the mind. Absolutely. And that's what people have to understand from a foundational point of view. Thoughts have to change before anything can change in the world. The way people see reality and understand how it works has to change first. Mm-hmm. Only philosophy can do that.
Absolutely. And there's been so many teachers like the Buddha and others who've been trying to tell us all is mind for generations.
Of course.
So, you know, we're talking about... it starts in the mind and it manifests in the world. Well, one of the things that I've been recently preparing to, you know, put out a report on is the transgender issue, gender identity issue. And it's like many topics, I think, that could be seen as distractions by some, but I think also are increasingly becoming difficult to ignore or avoid.
Very divisive.
These wedge issues, these very divisive issues. And it's sometimes, like, for example, if you want to talk to somebody about natural law, maybe they're willing to listen to you, but if you have a different opinion on the trans issue or another issue, then all of a sudden they don't want to listen.
Right.
So I'm working on a report, and we were talking about this off camera, that is going to take an objective, a truly objective stance, hear from this side and that side, and try to get people to see, look, there's nuance in these issues. We've had, just as an example, we've had indigenous cultures for thousands of years who have identified beyond just the two, male and female, but we're also now at a point where people are being encouraged to modify and mutilate their own bodies, and where parents are having to fight the state or the psychiatrist or the media or the social pressure to prevent their children from harming themselves in these ways. It's clearly gotten to something, you know, just very dangerous. And we're talking about, you know, how everything starts in the mind. What are your thoughts on this topic in general? Like, where is this coming from? You know, there's people who point to the transgender issue relating to the transhumanist issue, being anti-human. But, you know, while understanding that, let's say, a small percentage of people legitimately are born with gender dysphoria and don't feel they're in the right place, or just, you know, I think we've all gone through that feeling not good in our own body, right? And statistically, it seems like most of these people, if left alone and given therapy, would kind of grow out of it, so to
work
through their issues. And there's also some evidence I'm finding about an overlap between those who are on the autism spectrum and that are being diagnosed this way. So a lot of complex issues here.
Sure.
Putting that aside, though, what do you think, you know, this is really coming from? Like, you know, and where is it headed?
So the first thing people would have to really investigate is the causal factors of what is being referred to as gender dysphoria. And people believe that this is somehow natural, when my perspective is that this is a socially engineered dynamic through chemicals in the food, water, and air, mind control techniques that are constantly reinforced through the media and schooling, through epigenetic techniques. People have to study epigenetics, which is the influencing of physical characteristics through the mind, through mind control. I talked about this in a presentation that I gave several years ago called The Unholy Feminine, subtitled Neo-Feminism and the Satanic Epi-Eugenics Agenda. And what epi-eugenics really means is that you are influencing characteristics of beings to express or not express at a non-physical level. You could do it at a physical level as well, as I said, through chemicals, and that's one part of it. But you're also doing it through the mind. You're also doing it through the information that is put out there, what you get people to accept, moving the Overton window, as it is said. So causal factors have to be examined and really analyzed correctly. And at that point, you also have to make the distinction between an adult making this choice versus it being forced or pushed upon a child that is not of the age of being able to make a truly informed decision with all the information that they need to understand.
Absolutely.
So that's a complex thing as well. And I would, you know, as you said, suggest on letting people wait out to make that decision. Do not bring it involved with young children. They should be left out of that dynamic because they're still developing mentally, physically, etc. And much of this is phase oriented in development.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as you said, we have to let that naturally progress and not force an agenda upon it due to political reasons or any other things like cultural identity, yeah, etc. Just you know, people's identity from a sexual perspective.
Yeah.
So
I've heard this phrase, yeah, coming up called social contagion is how people are like, which is,
sure,
and there's historical examples of this with, you know, lobotomies, for, sure, example, being given to people like, hey, are you having a headache, having a bad day? Come,
right,
get a lobotomy. And how easy this gender affirming care is now happening.
It's part of epigenetics.
And
it's,
you can,
part
see,
of mind control,
like the spike in the last decades or so, where it clearly doesn't seem to be any kind of organic thing where,
no,
you could just say, for example, oh, well, we're becoming more accepting, so people are coming. No, there's a massive spike in the generational difference, too. It's specifically the younger generation.
Purely socially engineered.
Exactly.
Socially engineered.
What do you think about, I mean, I think this is what we're kind of getting at, and I know you understand, and viewers of both of our audiences will understand, that there really truly is something divine about the balanced masculine and feminine coming together.
Critically important.
Do you see this as an attack on that?
Absolutely. There's a whole war on testosterone, which reinforces masculinity in biological males and is so important for a woman coming into balance in her femininity in biological females. The testosterone is just as important for women as it is for men. And there's a war on testosterone. I also spoke about that in my epigenetics, you know, presentation called Unholy Feminine. You know, they do not want strong delineation and distinction between male and female, and the bonding, the tight social cohesion between the genders. And the reason for that is, if you can androgenize the species,
mm-hmm,
you are weakening that social bond between man and woman, and the species then becomes easier to manipulate, deceive, confuse, and ultimately to control. That is absolutely part of the agenda. And again, for people who want to research a lot of those specific dynamics more, I recommend my Unholy Feminine presentation, which is largely where I go into those dynamics.
I'll definitely link to all the presentations you've mentioned, Mark. One more question, we'll,
sure,
let you go. You've already been patient today. I appreciate it. Again, guys, Mark is going to be featured in the last couple episodes of the Pyramid of Power series. If you haven't checked it out, thepyramidofpower.net. You can see all 12 episodes that are released so far. And as I said, I'll link to Mark's presentations. One other area of common ground that we have that I think there's some pushback from the audience out there is that we're both vegan.
Sure.
And I know that you, like myself, take a moral position on this.
Yes.
And in the last year or so, Miriam, my partner, who you've met, her and I kept seeing this pushback. Like with the people waking up to the Great Reset, people are waking up to the World Economic Forum, Bill Gates, and there clearly is an agenda to push people to eat trash and, mm-hmm, bugs and all,
sure,
kinds of things. And we started to see that there are people in our movements who are lumping that in as like the vegan agenda,
mm-hmm,
right? And I do think that there is what we call faux veganism or vegan ink,
sure,
vegan kind of corporate agenda.
Sure.
Eat the processed foods,
sure,
not a whole foods, plant-based,
sure,
diet, organic, etc. So we created a website and I guess kind of planted a flag for those of us who are vegan. We called it Vegans Against Agenda 2030 or Vegans for Freedom.
Cool.
To kind of plant that and say, hey, look, not all of us who are vegan came in through, like a lot of the younger generation, they're coming in through climate change propaganda,
right,
saying this is going to save the planet. But they're not necessarily eating healthy. They're eating maybe, and obviously there's 3D printed food. There's,
mm-hmm,
all the crazy ideas.
Sure.
So I wanted to speak to that and give you a chance to say to the audience, people who, you know, as soon as they hear that someone's vegan, they make this assumption that we have bought into the UN agenda, this and that. Like, I can say for me as a voluntarist, I don't support people's, you know, being forced to eat bugs or whatever. Sure. I want people to come to that moral choice of saying, right. this is wrong for me to do this. And so, yeah, what are your thoughts on this whole misunderstanding of veganism?
Yes. Well, the first thing I would say is that there is a part of veganism that suits the Agenda 2030, agenda. No doubt about it. And that is because they do understand that the type of mass animal farming that is done to sustain human beings through animal products and meat is an ecological unbalancing factor. Mm-hmm. And any farmer would not want to see their farm destroyed because then they lose their animals and their profit. Mm-hmm. And that is really how the human farmers of our world see us. We are their animals, we are their product, we are what they are growing, controlling, and using. And they don't want the farm to be annihilated. They want the farm to be kept to the point where it's ecologically sustainable for them and their purposes. Mm-hmm. That is why they want to move people to a dietary system that is less ecologically harmful for their long-term plans. It has nothing to do with moral reasons. It has nothing to do with human health.
Yeah.
So my reasons for coming to a plant-based diet were purely moral. And the only question that I asked and ask others to ask is, does the life of another being belong to you to take and to end? The first occult maxim is, ask a question of yourself and then answer it honestly without lying to yourself or deceiving yourself. Because if you're going to deceive yourself, you'll deceive others. And then karma works that you'll be deceived. Others will attempt to deceive you. And then the cycle continues and continues. It's a very simple moral question that has a very simple, true, correct, and only answer that is true and correct. Does the life of another being belong to another person to take and to end for their purposes? And the answer is no, it does not. Or the animal's life would not be referred to as their life, possessive pronoun, their life. Mm. It would be your life, and it's not. It's the life of another being. That's anima, where the word animal comes from in Latin, the etymologically derived, means soul. From the root of to be animated
yeah.
meaning capable of moving on one's own and imbued with life, spirit, the breath. Okay? That life is not ours. It is that being's. It's their property. All rights are property rights. Every single right is a property right. Every single wrongdoing or transgression under natural law against another being's rights is a violation of their property. Mm-hmm. Murder is the taking of life without right. That's theft. Assault, the taking of well-being without right. Rape, the taking of free will sexual association without right. Theft, the taking mm-hmm. of property without right. On and on. Coercion, taking of free will without right. You're stealing something that doesn't belong to you.
Yeah.
Doing that to an animal is the same thing as the violation of another being's right. I want animals to be left alone. Animals are generally good creatures trying to live their existence, trying to survive just like we are.
Yeah.
Leave the animals alone. There's plenty of human beings that need a hunting, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, there's some psychopaths out there that we shouldn't leave alone. We should leave the animals
far
alone.
Less innocent than the animals.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, just to that last point there that I wrote about this in the third book of the Conscious Resistance Trilogy, trying to help people understand this, and I tried to use the property rights argument. But unfortunately, the one
approach... I apologize.
You're fine.
No worries.
So I wrote about this during the Conscious Resistance Trilogy, the last book, trying to take the property rights argument of help people understand, because they sort of have the reverse. This is my property. It's my dog. If I want to kick it, I can kick it. They view the animals as their property instead of viewing their abuse or use of the animal as a violation of that animal's
sure.
property rights. And the one of the arguments I shared, which I think on the natural law, that should be enough, but it's unfortunately not enough for some people. in our society, people, we recognize that children have rights. I mean, there's some parents who might disagree and they still view their children as property to abuse or do however they like. But let's say when it comes to somebody who has diminished mental capacity, you know, we generally understand, okay, sure, this is a human being. Even if they can't verbalize, we don't go attack them and beat them. And my argument was that animals should be viewed in the same way. That this is an animal that maybe needs a caretaker, maybe needs help here and there, but sure, should be given the same
consideration
as a person who is diminished mental capacity, as a child, etc.
Because that relationship is not one of property and owner. It's a relationship of steward. We exactly should have stewardship, mm-hmm, to care for that animal and care for it and help raise it and create its comfort, etc. If we're going to quote keep it as a pet, you know, but it's not property. It's still its life belongs to that being, and a steward-ward relationship is not property and owner relationship.
It's a mutual reciprocal relationship.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking some time with me, brother. I mean, we've covered quite a bit here in this. And again, everybody, you're going to want to see the answers that Mark shared with for the Pyramid of Power documentary. Let's remind them one more time about your upcoming presentation. It's happening in October in just outside of Philly, or where in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, it's a suburb west of Philadelphia, a little bit northwest maybe, but definitely west of the city. It's called Exton, Pennsylvania, where it's going to be taking place. The Exton Hotel and Conference Center, and the all-day presentation is entitled Two Masks, Same Face, The Dark Occult Origins of Nazism and Communism, October 21st, 2023. The tickets are available for a donation of $60, and you will get a personal invite to attend in person. This is an in-person event, not online, and you could get your invite for a donation of $60 at whatonearthishappening.com. The large poster for the event is right on the homepage. You click that, it'll take you to my gifts area where you can make your donation.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time, brother.
Derek, always a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation, everyone. Check out Mark's work at whatonearthishappening.com. Find my work at theconsciousresistance.com. We've got a lot of crazy things in our future, but it's time for us to get serious. Learn natural law. And remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free if you want to be. Peace.
Since 2012, the Conscious Resistance Network has been an independent media organization focused on empowering individuals through education, philosophy, health, and community organizing. We work to create a world where corporate and state power do not rule over the lives of free human beings. Our motto is leading by example and helping others in their pursuit of freedom. Visit theconsciousresistance.com to find our articles, documentaries, interviews, podcasts, books, and more. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.